Hi, thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle DeLino, divorce and family law attorney with DeLino Family Law Group. We have offices in Seattle and Bellevue, and we help clients all over Washington State. I've been practicing family law for almost 15 years, and I have probably seen everything there is. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza. Amy is a certified real estate divorce specialist with Windermere Real Estate. She has tons of experience in the real estate space and also in specialization in divorce, which is really helpful to our clients. And we have a special guest here today. I'm going to turn that over to Amy to introduce him and we'll get going.
Yeah. So welcome everybody today. And I am so excited. We have a special guest, Isaac Kim. Isaac Kim is a CRPS and a CRPC, which is a Chartered Retirement Planning Specialist and Counselor. He's based out of the greater LA area, out of California. And he focuses on complex financial and tax situations, helping clients reduce their capital gains taxes with business and real estate planning. So we're so excited to have you here today. Welcome.
Thank you, Amy and Michelle. It's my pleasure to be here. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I hope we can share some interesting information for your clients and we can help them maybe pay less in capital gains tax.
Who doesn't like that? Everybody wants to pay less and keep more, which makes sense. I think, especially when I think about people that have been through the divorce process and are thinking about long-term wealth strategies, a lot of people, Isaac, and you probably have seen this in your work, like they're in a situation where the assets that sustained one house now have to sustain two, yep. And their net worth just kind of got like slashed. And so they're looking at what can I do with real estate? What can I do to move myself forward? So then we start talking about, different types of trusts and different strategies. So that's why we're really excited to have you here today. I'm going to let you and Amy talk a little bit about something a lot of our listeners might have heard about, which is a 1031 exchange and what are some beneficial ways to deal with that. With trust. So I'll turn it over to you guys.
Yeah. Isaac, can you just give us like a basic overview of what a 1031 exchange is?
Sure. So a 1031 exchange is something you can use for commercial real estate only. You cannot use it for your residence. It has to be for real estate that's used in a business. And Section 1031 of the Internal Revenue Code gives a really, really big benefit to real estate investors. So typically, if I buy something, let's say I buy something for $100 and then I sell it for $150, then I have to pay tax on $50 to the IRS. With the 1031 exchange, what happens is that same $100, if I sell something, I buy it for $100 and I sell it for $150, if I follow the right steps, I don't have to pay tax on that $50 gain right now, and I can keep it and I can invest it. So if you're a real estate investor and you're not familiar with 1031 exchanges, please do yourself a favor and just educate yourself a little bit about it. It's a really well-known tax deferral strategy, and it's fantastic for real estate investors.
Awesome. Yeah, that is so important.
Great.
For real estate investors, I like how you made sure that to let people know that this is just for commercial real estate. And that doesn't mean a commercial real estate building, but it is investment real estate, right? So you can't do this with your primary residence. So that's good for people to know. Unless, what if they turned it into a rental for 5 years and then they wanted to turn it into a 1031? Could they do that?
Yeah. And you don't have to do it for 5 years. You should talk with your tax professional about how long you need to do that. I've heard if you do it for a couple of years, you're probably okay, but you have the right idea. Okay. And I don't give tax advice, but I've heard that from several tax CPAs. If you use it in a business and that includes a rental property, then that property can potentially you can use a 1031 exchange on that property when you sell it.
Got it. So like people out there, let's say who have a short-term rental, that would also classify as an investment property that they could use for a 1031.
Yeah, I believe so. Again, it has to be used for business. And I think, again, you should talk with your CPA about that. But I can't imagine that's not for business purpose. I mean, you're putting it out there and you're using it to make money. That seems like business purpose to me.
Definitely agree.
Right. So, you know, what typically happens when you do a 1031 exchange, let's use a little bit bigger numbers this time. Let's say you bought a property and you paid $1 million for that property. And it's 5 years later, and that property is now worth $3 million. It's just gone up. It's just gone crazy. We know 2021, what happened with the real estate market. So you bought it for $1 million. It's now worth $3 million. If you sell that property now for $3 million, you will have to pay tax on $2 million because you paid $1 million for it. You received $3 million. You have a gain of $2 million. You have to pay tax on that $2 million. Unless you do a 1031 exchange, because this is commercial real estate. So what happens in the with the 1031 exchange is you sell the property, the property that you own that's now worth $3 million. And then what you can do is you can take that money, do a 1031 exchange, and let's say you buy a $5 million property, you can take all of your tax basis and your debt from the first property, move it to the second property, now the $5 million property, and you don't have to pay any tax on that transaction.
Okay, whoa. So
Yeah.
isn't that like for Michelle and I, like we get that, but like for I think the common, investor out there and listener, like that is a huge tax
Huge.
saving strategy, right?
Yeah,
Huge.
it's a huge tax saving strategy. And without getting into details, one of the reasons people like getting into real estate is that there's a lot of tax advantages. There's a lot of tax strategies that you can use, and we won't discuss this one, but there's if you hold real estate until you die, you can give it to your heirs and no one has to pay taxes at all. It can
Right.
be zero. Again, a little bit out of my area, but an estate attorney could talk to you about that. It's called step-up basis, and it's something that you can do with real estate and just continue doing it and not ever pay taxes. This is legitimate. I'm not pushing some strategy that is not known. The IRS even came out with a revenue ruling. A revenue ruling from the IRS just means that they're coming out with a pro public proclamation. And for the Delaware Statutory Trust, the revenue ruling is 2004-86. So you can look it up for yourself, it's out there. 2004-86, and in it, the IRS basically approves using a DST in a 1031 exchange as long as you follow all the rules.
Okay, so Isaac, back up for just a second, because I think I lost you there. So can you help our listeners and myself understand what is a DST?
Got it. Got it. All right, great. So, a Delaware statutory trust. It's if you're an attorney, it's what it sounds like. It's a trust. A company, a sponsor will go out and they'll set up the trust, and then they'll go out and they'll buy real estate in the name of a trust. So right now, one of the DSTs that I offer out to my clients, the property inside the trust that the sponsor purchased, it's a distribution warehouse and it's 100% leased to Amazon. Clients love that one because Amazon, they're not worried about Amazon going bankrupt. Like Amazon's going to pay the rent. So what happens is the sponsor, they go out, they buy the Amazon, they buy the warehouse, put it inside the trust. And then what happens, Amy, is if you're doing a 1031 exchange, let's say you're selling that $3 million property that we talked about earlier, what you can do is you can take that $3 million, buy shares of the trust that own the distribution warehouse. You'll now own $3 million of the trust, or $3 million of the property that underlies that trust. You don't have to pay capital gains tax on that transaction. So the $3 million, you don't pay any tax on it right now,
Wow,
because
that's
you're doing
awesome.
a 1031
Wow.
exchange into a DST. Again, this is, you can look this up yourself, but the money goes into the DST. You now own shares of the DST, and the DST in turn owns shares of the real estate, the distribution warehouse that's leased to Amazon. So You haven't paid any capital gains tax on that $3 million. And now what's going to happen is you're going to get monthly income off of the $3 million that you just, the transaction that you just did. The $3 million goes into the DST. You own $3 million of the DST, and now you're going to get monthly interest payments on the $3 million that you put into the DST. So right now, just to give you an idea, the DST, the Amazon warehouse, it's paying out an interest rate around, I think, 4.25%, maybe 4.5%. So when you combine the fact that you don't have to pay any capital gains tax, because remember, if you sold that $3 million property, and let's say you had to pay one third capital gains tax, you only have $2 million left over, right? You only got $2 million. But when you do the Delaware statutory trust, you can invest $3 million.
So you have more to invest and more that you can keep for a longer period of time.
Exactly. And
You have a revenue stream as well that you didn't have. So,
exactly.
okay, I think I'm getting that.
So the most common person we're working with the Delaware statutory trust are elderly people who own real estate and they don't want to manage real estate anymore. So imagine you're 75 years old, you've owned real estate for 30 years, and you're just tired. You don't want to do it anymore. You don't want to deal with tenants and whatever comes along with managing property. But your challenge now is if you sell that real estate, you're going to have to pay capital gains tax. Or what you could do is you could sell that property, take the proceeds, put it into a DST, you complete a 1031 exchange so you don't have to pay any capital gains tax at that time. And then you're going to get income off of that DST every month.
And does that rate fluctuate, Isaac? Like you were saying that's that one certain DST was 4.5%. Is that something that changes year to year based on, what the market is doing, or how does that work?
So when you work with a sponsor, you have to do your due diligence on the sponsor. So one of the benefits of working with me is really thorough due diligence has been done on the sponsors because you're entrusting the money to them, so they have to know what they're doing. There's always risk of loss, but when you invest in real estate, you invest it because you hope they're going to do a good job buying the property. It's going to generate good cash flow and it's going to appreciate in value. So that's what we're looking to do. So going back to your question, the value of the property could fall. The interest rate that you're getting, that could fluctuate because, market conditions change. But the sponsor we work with, they're called Inland. They're very large, very well established. They've done more than $18 billion of DST. So they know what they're talking about and they've been thoroughly vetted. So that 4.5% that we talked about earlier, can that change? Yes, it could. But with the sponsors that we use, they tend to be very conservative. So if there's what our clients don't like is when we say we're going to give you a certain rate of interest and then that falls. They don't like that. So Inland is aware of that as well. And I would say they try to be as conservative as they can. They have money put aside in reserve just in case something happens. And that reserve goes back to the shareholders at the end. But anyway, they try to be more conservative. And I think that's one of the reasons we like them is because they are conservative. We're not trying to hit, grand slams here. But just by not paying taxes, you're hitting a double, right? If we're keeping
That's
the
true.
baseball analogy. You're
Yeah,
not paying
that's actually
taxes
very
right
true.
now.
Yeah,
So,
that's true.
and so what if, and I'm going to go back to what you were saying earlier about the step-up basis. So can you take a property, do a 1031 exchange, put it into a DST, and then keep it until you die, and then pass it to your heirs without paying taxes? I know you're not a tax professional,
Right.
but
So
you can
as
do
long
that.
as it doesn't exceed the estate tax exemption limit. Right now, I think it's about $13 million a person. So right now you're probably
Pretty
good.
high.
But in 2025, it's going to sunset and it's going to drop. And I think it's going to go down to 5 or 6 million. So if that happens, then as long as the value of your assets is below that 5 or 6 million, then yes, it should pass on estate tax-free to your heirs. And if you do the 1031 exchange, that also means capital gains tax-free as well.
Wow, that
And
is
that's a
incredible.
strategy that the wealthy use a lot. I mean, again, not an estate attorney, but I work with wealthy people and how they try to minimize taxes, right? They're trying to minimize taxes. I want to use the right word. And right now, just holding on to your asset, taking advantage of that $13 million exemption per person.
Huge.
Yeah, for a married couple, that's $26 million. So how many people have an estate north of 26 million? That
Not
that's a
many.
pretty small part of the po small portion of the population. So yeah, using that step-up basis, any estate attorney will tell you that that's one of their favorite strategies.
Awesome.
Love it.
I do. I love
That's great.
that. Michelle, do you have do you have any questions about what you think that your clients or clients who are going through divorce should be thinking about in terms of, tax planning or financial planning, or, what kinds of clients of yours would benefit or ours would benefit from these types of scenarios?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of times business owners in particular benefit because business owners, am one, and I know a lot of them, had a lot of clients that are business owners. And those kinds of clients often have, depending on how their business is incorporated, I mean, you may have W-2 income and you may have pass-through income on a K-1, or you may have other business dividends. And so you may be reporting, more income as a result of your business. And then you may be looking at also, some of those people are also heavily invested in real estate. And then when you go through a divorce, you're looking at splitting up a real estate portfolio. And when that happens, and it's not just business owners. I mean, there's business owners that benefit from this. And I see a lot of those people also holding real estate portfolios. But then there's also people who have, as a couple, invested long term in real estate. And now they're looking at, okay, what am I going to do with the properties that I have? What am I going to do as I move forward in my life as a single person, or I'm leaving behind, heirs that are not my spouse? And so they really need to think about how to diversify and if a 1031 makes sense, if they're not going to hold a piece of property that they were holding during a marriage. So I think a lot of people can benefit from this. I think a lot of people also don't think about, they just think, oh, I'm getting these properties. Let's say we had four or five properties. I'm getting these. They don't even start to think until it's over, like what they're going to do with them, or if they're going to cash flow or not, or if it's a good idea for them to hold on to them. So this kind of planning, with the DST, and this kind of planning is important for anybody, I think, that's taking on properties in a divorce that are not just your primary home, right? Like, and not every divorce has that, but think about it. There's a lot of people, and Amy, especially like with short-term rentals, there's so many people that have that, or some people might own a commercial property for a small business. All of those kinds of people should be looking at the kind of strategies that Isaac's talking about and also working with an estate planning attorney. So this is great information.
Right. And just one last thing I'd like to say about the DST real quick. So, we talked about elderly people wanting to use it. Just one other case where people are not aware that you can use DSTs as a valuable tool. Typically, if you're doing a 1031 exchange, you're selling property A and you're going to buy property B, a freestanding property. A lot of times in commercial real estate, though, that deal for property B falls through. Like for whatever reason, you're going to purchase it, and for whatever reason, it falls through. Well, if you sold a property and you were going to do a 1031 exchange and you identified a property that you were going to buy and that deal falls through, now you have to pay capital gains tax on that transaction. That's very painful because you didn't expect to pay capital gains tax. So here's what I want to say. If you're doing a transaction and you're gonna buy a replacement property in a 1031 exchange, one thing you have to do is by day 45, you have to list potential replacement properties. So what we suggest people do is if you're worried about that replacement property falling through, list a DST as a replacement property by day 45, because
Mm.
If the replacement property falls through, you can just fall back and buy shares of the DST and complete the 1031 exchange.
That's a
If you
pretty
don't
nice.
list the DST as a replacement property, you're out of luck and you have to pay capital gains tax.
That is
So,
such a great strategy, right? Because, you
yeah.
know, for so you were, you know, getting into the nuts and bolts of it, but there are certain things that you have to do with a 1031 exchange that the IRS mandates. Like you were saying, by day 45, you have to list at least one, but you could potentially list three, right?
Yeah, yes.
And then what is the timeline for people to complete that? Is it
So
6 months,
you
3
have to
months?
complete the 1031 exchange within 180 days, calendar days of when you sold your initial property. And then, as you mentioned, by day 45, you have to list potential replacement properties. You know, if you're in commercial real estate and you have clients who are doing commercial real estate, again, just consider using a DST as a backup if you think that replacement property is going to fall through. Your client's going to be so happy if that happens because having a tax bill on a $5 million transaction when you don't expect to pay any taxes on it, yeah, people get irate about that.
I can imagine.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Imagine. Well,
I
and
bet.
that just cuts down into, you know, your future ability to invest, and especially if you're dividing assets and, you know, you're already thinking about, you know, what you have to pay for and what you have to give up. That's a hard pill to swallow for sure.
Definitely. Definitely. And I think this is really help, but it leads me to want to make sure we know that our listeners know next time we're going to talk about charitable remainder trusts, which I think is a totally different kind of trust. And I think the reality is a lot of this is information that you might be listening and thinking, wow, this is really overwhelming. Like, where do I go from here with this? And if you don't know, listen to it again and then reach out for help, because this is like the amount of value that's in this episode for people as far as tax savings is huge. And we're just getting started. Like, we'll have Isaac back again to talk about charitable remainder trust, and I highly recommend that you tune in for that as well.
Thank you so much for being here with us today. I
Yeah, this
hope
is great.
it was my pleasure. Thank you very much. Can't wait to come
Absolutely.
back.
Absolutely. All right. Thanks so much. Have a great day, everyone, and thanks for listening.